From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. While much attention has been paid to the politics of the upcoming midterm elections, the issue of voting rights has fallen off the radar. A new report by the Brennan Center for Justice found that 5 years after the Supreme Court gutted a key provision of the Voting Rights Act, voter rolls are being purged. Brennan Center lawyer Myrna Perez in a recent New York Times op-ed wrote that her organization found, quote, the median rate of purging across the country has risen from 6.2% of voters to 7.8% since 2008. My guest is Kevin Morris, quantitative researcher with the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, focusing on voting rights and elections, and he is one of the co-authors of the report, Purges, a Growing Threat to the Right to Vote. Welcome to the program, Kevin.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
So what are the various reasons that voters are purged from the rolls in general?
Well, there are a few reasons that people would be purged from the rolls, and it's important to remember that it's important to have clean voter rolls because before every election, the local boards of elections will send out mailers about upcoming elections and dates. They'll send out information about things that are on the ballot, and that can be really expensive for the local boards of elections. And not to mention that just having lots and lots and lots of names of people that aren't actually eligible to vote can be a problem. Generally, counties and jurisdictions have a few different reasons why they would remove someone from the ballot. From their voter rolls. The biggest one is if you move away. If you move out of a county, or even if you move across the street, you have to update your voter registration to make sure that you're actually voting in the election in which you're eligible to vote. If you die, of course, people, once they're dead, they need to be removed from the rolls. There are a couple other big ones, especially something that we work on a lot here. There's felon disenfranchisement. A lot of states across the country have limitations on what individuals are allowed to participate in elections based on either their history of criminal activity or if they're currently in prison. Mental incapacity is another one that is not particularly common, but you can in certain states have your right to vote revoked if you've been declared mentally incapable of doing so by a court. And finally, and we talk about this in the report, there are, if you are a non-citizen, if non-citizens end up on the rolls, they ought to be removed. Of course, there are very few non-citizens that actually end up on the voter rolls. Our voter registration practices are generally pretty good. But we're seeing now that there's a big push to remove people based on non-citizenship, and there are a lot of problems attendant with that.
Right. So there is always, in general, there's a base rate of voter purges that happen for all of the various quite normal reasons that you laid out. And then what you found is that since 2008, as I quoted Myrna Perez, that rate has increased. It seems like a small increase, but is it?
Well, it's a relatively small increase in percentage terms. But of course, we have so many millions of people that are registered to vote across the country. Small percentages can add up pretty quickly. Part of our report, we look at it growing from that 6.5 to 7.8%. That corresponds to 4 million voters, 4 million more voters being removed from the rolls.
So 4 million more than would have ordinarily be removed for reasons.
In the 2 years ending in 2008, all the jurisdictions that reported their data, they collectively removed 12 million voters. And in the 2 years ending with 2016, all the jurisdictions that reported removed 16 million. So total across the country, 4 million more people were removed in that latter time period between the elections of 2014 and 16 than between 2006 and 2008. And of course, 4 million is a big number. Past few presidential elections, I think it's three of the last five presidential elections, the popular vote margin was decided by fewer than 4 million votes.
Right,
so
exactly.
These extra people are being removed. That can have some big impact.
So let's talk about the Supreme Court's decision 5 years ago in 2013 that gutted a key provision of the Voting Rights Act. I remember reporting on that case and interviewing people who worried that this was going to result in people who should remain remain on the rolls being removed. Tell us, first of all, what that protection was, why it was even historically put into place, and what the Supreme Court did.
Right. So in 1965, when the Voting Rights Act was passed, there was this preclearance condition. So this was Section 5, and I promise I won't get too technical, but Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act said that counties and states that had a history of discrimination in their electoral practices, if they wanted to change anything, they had to get that pre-cleared, is the way that we put it in the report. They had to get that pre-cleared by the Department of Justice. A great example is the Texas voter ID law. In 2011, I think it was, Texas introduced a voter ID law. Because they were covered under the Voting Rights Act, that had to go up and get pre-cleared by the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice said, this is not okay, this isn't gonna fly, for a whole host of reasons. After that preclearance condition was struck down, Texas reintroduced a law that was very similar, but because that preclearance condition had been removed by the Department of Justice, by the Supreme Court in 2013, they no longer had to get that approved before it went into effect. And so we've seen that also covered certain purge practices. If states wanted to change the way that they purged their voters, removed their voters from the voter list, they would have to get pre-approval to do that. Now they no longer have to.
So I recall that the Supreme Court's justification, and John Roberts was one that had a decisive opinion on this. The justification was that because the Voting Rights Act has worked so well, as in because we've protected people's right to vote so well, we no longer need to protect people's right to vote. Is that the gist of it?
That is. So they invalidated Section 4, had what was called the coverage formula, for lack of a better way of putting it. It said this is how we're going to determine which counties and which states are subject to that preclearance condition. And you're right, John Roberts and the majority of the court struck down that formula for determining who would be covered as unconstitutional in 2013.
So in your report, Purge is a Growing Threat to the Right to Vote, that was just released by the Brennan Center, how did you find that some of these additional purges that shouldn't be happening are directly linked to the Supreme Court decision 5 years ago?
Well, it's hard to say. So my background is in economics and statistics. It's very difficult to say that because of this happened. From a numerical, from a quantitative perspective, it's difficult to say that. However, we do show in the report that counties and states that were covered by that preclearance condition, they raised their purge rates much more than the rest of the country after 2013. So for our analysis, we limit our analysis to a pool of jurisdictions that report in every period. Not every jurisdiction reports in every period throughout the time period. But we do see that the jurisdictions that were not covered in 2013 by that preclearance condition, they didn't raise their removal rates at all after 2016, between 2012 and 2016. The ones that did raise their removal rates by quite a bit. And in the report, we discussed this at length. We estimate that about 2 million additional people were removed in those previously covered jurisdictions than would have been removed if they continued to purge at the same rate as all the other counties. So it was concentrated in these counties that were covered by the Voting Rights Act provision.
Right. One might get the impression that it's mostly southern states where these counties exist and where you see these problems, and where voters who shouldn't be purged are being purged. Is that true?
Well, it is and it's not. The majority of the counties that were covered under the Voting Rights Act, they are in the South. Mm-hmm. However, California had a few counties, as did New York. Mm-hmm. There were a number of counties throughout the country that were covered by that preclearance condition because they had a history of discrimination. But it's important to note that while that piece of our analysis focusing on the post-Shelby County decision looks mostly at southern states, there's also evidence of other states doing bad purges that are above what we say above the Mason-Dixon line. A really good example is New York City, my home borough of Brooklyn, in 2016, violated the National Voter Registration Act and removed more than 100,000 people than they should have. And so people showed up to vote in the 2016 federal primaries here, because in New York we have federal and local. They're not
right,
in the same
separately. Yeah.
Yeah. But so people showed up to vote excited to vote for the candidate of their choice in the primary elections, only to find that they had been improperly removed from the voter rolls. So it's not just happening in the South. It's happening everywhere.
Another aspect that your report focused on was the so-called cross-check plan spearheaded by Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach, highlighted in the Greg Palast documentary, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. Explain cross-check briefly and how that has contributed to voter purges.
Sure. So there are two big interstate check programs. That there's one that you referred to, the cross-check program. The other one is called ERIC. And a number of states use the two of them. Cross-check is particularly problematic, though, because the way that cross-check works is, let's say that I'm in New York and you're in California, and we're both, well, that's a bad example. They know that neither of those states are currently participating in cross-check.
Okay.
But if two states are participating in cross-check and they share their data, with the cross-check program. And I'm looking in, Virginia is a really good example. Virginia was participating in 2013. And they compare based on your first name, your last name, your date of birth, and sometimes a few other criteria, but generally it's just first name, last name, and birth date. And if there are two people with that same information in two different states, Virginia can look and say, oh, Kevin Morris, born on November 2nd, 1990. He is registered in another state, so we need to remove him from here. What happened in Virginia, though, is that they found people that had actually moved to Virginia, that were eligible to vote in Virginia, and they had been removed. So that's a big, one big problem is the quality of the data in cross-check, because it leads, you are unable to tell where the most recent date of registration is. Another big problem with the program, though, is that there are lots of Kevin Morrises in this country.
Exactly.
And Kevin Morrises that were born on my same birthday.
Wow.
So that means that if I match just first name, last name, and birthday with someone else in another state, well, that's not enough information to really be sure that that's the same person. So we've seen evidence of states using, they'll sometimes add in, say, the last four digits of your social security number, which makes it a better match, but it's still not very good, because there are so many people and so many common last names. We talk about this too. There are how many Scots and how many Smiths are across the country, which means that people are being flagged as matches when they're actually different people. And so people can be removed just for the crime of having the same name and birthday to someone in another state.
What about voter ID laws? You mentioned the Texas voter ID law that essentially, because of the Voting Rights Act being gutted by the Supreme Court, Texas was just able to put up a new version of the law, get it passed. But states around the country, especially with Republican-dominated legislatures, have very specifically attempted to pass these laws, some of which have been challenged, in order to ensure that fewer Democrats vote, because, you know, students and people of color, poor people who may tend to Democratic, might be more likely to be, disenfranchised by these acts. Do voter ID laws make an appearance in your report?
No, we don't spend too much time talking about that. We do talk a little bit, though. As you noted, there's been a lot of press around voter ID laws. There's been a lot of noise about how dangerous they are and how they impact communities of color. There's been a lot less noise being made about voter purges, and that's dangerous for a couple of reasons. First of all, the voter ID laws, when they go into effect, people know before they show up to vote.
I see. So it's not that they're purged off of the rolls. They're simply just told they can't vote.
Right.
They don't have the ID. Yeah.
That's exactly right. They might be registered, completely properly registered, but if they show up at the poll and they don't have the right ID, they can be turned away.
So is there any evidence that people of color are disproportionately targeted, or any one particular demographic is being disproportionately targeted in these voter purges?
Well, we talk about this a little bit. There's not, from a statistical perspective, it's not like we were able to determine that in some counties there were more people purged than others. However, we were talking a minute ago about the cross-check program, and cross-check is problematic in part because voters of color are more likely to share common last names. Both Asian Americans and African Americans are more likely to have one of the 100 most common last names. Mm-hmm. So when people are being improperly purged because their names match with someone else's, well, that's not evenly distributed. That's actually falling more heavily. People, voters of color, are more likely to show up as false matches in the cross-check program.
What are the recommendations that you make in this report to address this very real issue? Because as you suggested, even if it's a small percentage of voters that are being improperly purged, that translates into millions of voters. And in jurisdictions around, in districts around the country, there are so many races. You know, this isn't just about big federal elections or the midterm elections with the members of Congress or congressional elections. This is all races where just even a handful of votes can make the difference between something passing and something not passing, or someone winning and the other person not.
You're exactly right. The first thing that we're recommending that everybody does is check to make sure that they're registered to vote. Around the country, as the primaries come and go, and as we gear up for the midterm elections, these purges can be done silently. People are not required to be notified if they've been removed from the voter rolls.
Right. So you can be completely convinced you have registered because you voted in the last election, only to find out that you were purged.
That's exactly right. So everyone ought to be checking to make sure that they are, in fact, registered to vote. Most states have ways that you can go on their election website and just confirm that you are registered to vote. And if you have been improperly purged, A, reach out to us and let us know if you think it was wrongly done. And B, make sure that you re-register in time to vote in the federal election. On top of that, we're recommending that the National Voter Registration Act, the NVRA, has protections in there for voters. But states and organizations have not necessarily always sued jurisdictions under the protections that are there. So we think it's really, really important for people to be making sure that they use this tool that's been given to us by the federal government, the NVRA. Another recommendation, we got news out of California today. They enacted something close to automatically registering people when they interact with the DMV. They're calling it the new motor voter law. But there are ways in which we can incorporate voter registration and the updating of voter files into other interactions that we have with the government. Oregon was the first state to pass. My home state of Oregon was the first to pass it a few years ago, meaning that if you interact with the DMV, you are automatically either registered or your information is automatically updated to make sure that those voter files are up to date and actually reflective of the people that are eligible to vote in every election.
And then finally, Kevin, just because I think it's worth saying in any interview about voters being disenfranchised, there have been so many wild claims made, particularly by Republican officials, that we have this huge problem of voter fraud in this country. The president himself has made wild claims about millions of people voting illegally. How big is the problem of voter fraud?
It's tiny. We did a report a couple of years ago after the 2016 election, and we showed that there's hardly any evidence at all of non-citizens voting. But it's an important thing to bring up that all of this is interrelated. So when Trump made those claims, he started what was called the Pence-Kobach Commission to investigate illegal votes, non-citizen voters. That's the same Kobach that you referenced earlier from Kansas, who started up this interstate voter registration cross-check program. So the same person that was pushing this idea that all these illegal immigrants are voting is the same person that is instituting this program that allows people to have messy purges. So there are connections among all these different people.
And I understand that that council just basically was disbanded quietly because it was challenged legally and nothing came of it. And now that wild claim that Trump made has just gone by the wayside.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So,
give out a website, Kevin, where people can get information about the Brennan Center's work on voting rights. Is there a website or phone number people can call if they find out that they've been improperly purged?
Yeah, I would get the BrennanCenter.org, BrennanCenter.org. And we have contact information up there if you want to reach out.
And that is also where people can find out about or get the actual report as
that's
well.
Easy. Yes.
And we link to that from our website, risingupwithsonali.com. Kevin, do we need to be concerned about the impact of these purges on the upcoming midterm elections? Is anyone actually doing anything to address these purges before November?
We're not going to come out and say that necessarily that it will have big impact on who wins and who loses and which passes and what doesn't. That's hard to know ahead of time. Mm-hmm. We do know, though, that whether or not any election is changed by the result of this, taking away the right to vote from eligible voters is a big problem. Right. No one should be silenced. Whether or not they would have swayed the election, no one's right should be taken away from them improperly.
Right. It's hard enough to have people eligible to vote to vote, because there just aren't that many incentives. No days off for voting, et cetera. Although people can get time off. They legally have to get time off, but it should be on a holiday, as many other countries have. So thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us today. Absolutely. And again, we'll link to the Brennan Center's website.
Great. Thanks so much.
My guest has been Kevin Morris, a quantitative researcher with the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, focusing on voting rights and elections. We've been discussing the report he's co-authored called Purges, A Growing Threat to the Right to Vote. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram at RU with Sonali.